Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the greatness of your love and your compassion towards us. We thank you for the great name of the Lord Jesus that is a banner to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the Bible says. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Lord, we thank you for your name. It is highly exalted. We give you the praise in this message of the Lord this morning. Glorify yourself as always. Hallelujah. And Lord, let the light of your word shine in our hearts, in everybody's hearts here this morning, and give us an understanding concerning your word. And Lord, we thank you because we know that every time that you speak your word to us, it causes us to draw closer to you, and it causes the light to shine in us. So let it be this morning to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, here's what I want to share with us this morning. You know, I'm going to start here, and I'll tell you the title of this in a minute. But I'm going to start here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Now, the message I want to share with you this morning is, what is God's testimony concerning you? Now, what's God saying about you? What do the heavens say about you? You know, what is God's testimony about you? Now, here's what Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. He said, you know, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's the question that Jesus asked. Now, that's not my question here this morning. I'm going to ask a different question of us this morning. And the question is this. You know, what does Jesus say of you? I mean, what does God say of you? What do the heavens say of you? You say, well, that's kind of a strange one, you know. But it won't be so strange when I finish this short exhortation here this morning. So what are they saying about you? You know, you say, well, are they really saying something about me? Well, sure. But let's find out. You know, here's what Jesus says. So I'm going to give you a background for this, just so you know where this message is at. Here's what Jesus said, you know, himself, you know, when he was teaching his disciples. He said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, he said, look, if anybody is ashamed of me and so forth, you know, then I am going to also be ashamed of him, and I'm not going to testify his name, you know, and so on. Here's what he said, Luke chapter 9, and let me read verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man also be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. Now keep that thought in mind and go over to Revelation chapter 3 and let's read verse 5. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, this is a different kind of message this morning, and you all know that I preach, you know, powerful messages on faith and so forth all the time. This is kind of different this morning. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. You know, so right away from this scripture, we see that God, you know, Jesus is in the business of confessing some names. You know, that's like he's testifying, you know. He's testifying, or he may be testifying of your name. You know, when you're testifying of him here, he also may be testifying of your name, you know, before his Father and of the angels. That's what the Bible says. But, you know, if you're not doing that, you know, if you're ashamed of his name, then perhaps he may be ashamed also to testify your name. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. That's what Timothy was told by Paul. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, because if you are, Jesus already said that he'd be ashamed of you and so forth like that. So, but if you are not, and if you are standing up for Jesus, he said, I will confess your name before my Father that is in heaven. And let's look at some examples. You know, that's just a background, but you know, I'm going to say something different in a few minutes. You know, let's look at some examples of people that God had something to say about, had something to say about them in the Bible. You know, God, you know, there were some special people in the Bible. God had something to say about it, had a testimony about them. And we want to look at some of them in the Bible and then challenge ourselves and see, why did these people get this kind of testimony? Why did they get this kind of, recognition from the Lord? You know, that's the question. So let's look at Abraham. You know, last week I preached and touched on this subject of Abraham. And you heard me preach about Abraham many times. Being the father of faith, I like to talk about him. So let's look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Let's look at what God had to say about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Now, of course, you know, Abraham was the one through God established the covenant. Even the very covenant that we are enjoying today. Here's what God said about him in Genesis 18 and verse 19. For I know him, talking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, that's what the Lord said of Abraham. And the question I want to ask you is this. What does the Lord say of you? Can the Lord say of you that I know him? Those of you who are parents in here this morning. Can the Lord say of you like he said of Abraham? I know such and such that he will command, or he or she will command their children after the fear of the Lord. Can the Lord say that of you? Are you commanding your children after the fear of the Lord that they may cleave unto the Lord with all their heart and all their soul, that you may teach them the word of God, to bind it upon their eyes, to put it like spectacles in front of them, the Bible says? You know, are you doing that? Can God say this thing of you, that I know him, that he will do this, that he will do this concerning, you know, his children and his household? Can God say that of you? That's the question here this morning. Let's see another thing that he said about Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And you heard me preach on this last week. Different kind of message, but I'm going to go back to that text nonetheless. Genesis 22 and verse 12. Now you heard this in the message last week if you were here, and how God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac and so on. So, and listen to verse 12. God said to him, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. See? Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, even thine only son, from me. You know, so God said, I know that thou fearest God. Can God say of you that I know that you believe my word? Can I get an amen on somebody? That's right. I want to do all I can, you know, by the grace of God. When I stand before the Lord, I want to be able to say, Lord, I believe that word. Whatever that word says, you know, I'm going to believe it. Now, he can overrule if he wants. That's his business. But I'm going to believe what his word says. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's the faith that we teach. You must believe the word of God. Now, if God chooses, of course, he's sovereign, and you heard me preach about that last week. If he chooses to overrule, that's his choice. But my job and my responsibility is to believe that word. Each of you, it's your responsibility to believe that word. Now, God, can he say of you that I know him, I know her, that she'll believe that word? Can he say that of you? Hello? That's right. So that's the question here this morning. So, that was God's testimony about Abraham. Let's see what God had to say about Job. What did God have to say about Job? In the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse 8. This is God's testimony about Job. Now, in this particular case, God was even bragging about Job to the devil. You know, and here's what he said concerning, you know, Job. Job chapter 1 verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? You know, he will have nothing to do with evil. He's a righteous man. And he's somebody that fears God and so forth. And God was bragging about him. He said, and he even told the devil, he said, Satan, have you seen my servant Job? That there's none like him. Hallelujah, somebody. Can God say that about you? Can God say, have you seen my servant such and such, and put your name there and challenge the devil and brag about you and say there is none like you on the face of the earth, a man that feareth, or a woman that feareth God, somebody who, you know, eschews evil, that, you know, will have nothing to do with evil, but he walks righteously before the Lord all the time. Can God say that about you? That's what he said about Job. And let's see other testimonies that he gave. Here's the testimony that he gave concerning Moses. You know, he says that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. I'm not going to read that verse, but you can write it down, because I want to make this quick. Numbers 12 and 3, he said that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Now here's something he had to say of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And verse 12. I want to read this one. So turn with me or put it up on the screen. Judges chapter 6 and verse 12. Here's what God had to say concerning Gideon. Now, here's what, you know, here's something interesting that I want you to notice out of this. Listen to what he said about Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's the salutation that he received from the angel of the Lord. The Lord recognized him that he was a mighty man of valor. He wasn't somebody that was going to take no for an answer. Amen? Can God, does God recognize you like that? Can he say these things? The angel of the Lord should appear to you. Will he say, hey, somebody, whatever your name is, thou mighty man or mighty woman of valor? Can he, God, salute you like that? Does he see you like that? Or does he see you like somebody of little faith? That's the question here this morning. Now, let's look at what he had to say about Daniel. I'm going to give you three chapters, or three verses. But they all say the same thing. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23. Daniel chapter 10 verse 11. And Daniel chapter 10 verse 19. The angel saluted Daniel in each of these verses and said, Thou art greatly beloved. The angel of the Lord that came from heaven. He said, Oh, Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. That was the greetings that God said. You know how you write a letter and say, greetings, you know, and so forth like that. Hello, Daniel. You know, God sends message, say, Hello, Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. And he sent that message by personal delivery of the angel of the Lord. Can God greet you like that? Can he say that thou art greatly beloved because you are a man that is after his own heart? Can he say that? Well, that's what he said also of David. David, you know, I love to preach about David. I can't preach this kind of message without putting David's name in there anyhow. In 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, we are told that, well, you know, all of the things and so forth that, you know, was going on in Israel at that time, God finally rejected Saul and said that he's going to choose a man that is after his own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And verse 14, Samuel gave the indictment against Saul and said, You've done foolishly, from verse 13 and so forth like that. God would have established your kingdom, but now it's taken from you and it's going to be given to a man after his own heart. Now, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. The Bible now references this same event and says that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, is that the way that God sees you? Does God see you as a man after his own heart? Let's look at what Jesus had to say about John the Baptist. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7, I start. Jesus asked the multitude, what did they go out in the wilderness to see? You know, a man clothed in soft raiment, he said. What went you out to see? Those who live, you know, those who wear soft raiment live in king palaces, he told them. But what went you out to see? Verse 9 of Matthew 11. A prophet? And he said, yea. And I say unto you, more than a prophet. You know, and so forth. Then he began to say some things about him and so forth. Jesus recognized John the Baptist and said he was the messenger sent to, you know, forerun, you know, the ministry of Christ. Jesus recognized him. You know, can Jesus recognize you that you are a messenger also foretelling of his second coming? Hello? Can he recognize you? You know, can he stand and testify of your name in heaven because you are testifying of his name on earth? Now, let's see also how the Bible recognized what I call the heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, of course, I don't have time to read all of it. You can read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to, you know, point out to you that in this chapter of Hebrews 11, the scriptures recognized, just like we recognize some people here this morning, the scriptures recognize some heroes of faith that did valiant things. You know, what is the record that heaven is keeping about you? You know, can your name fit into this book of Hebrews? I mean, if they were rewriting it and say, you know, like they put a name and say, all of these people and so forth that did all these great things and so on. They were just ordinary people like us. You know, what more shall I say? In verse 32 of Hebrews 11. For the time would fail me, he said, to talk of Gideon. I already read about Gideon today, you know, and so forth. And all these people, Samson and Jephthah and Samuel and the prophet, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Hallelujah, somebody. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. And they obtained promises. Hallelujah. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched, of course, you know the story of Daniel. They quenched the violence of fire. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You heard it last week. You know, they escaped the edge of the sword. They did all kinds of things. They waxed valiant in flight. Hallelujah. They turned to fight the, you know, the fight of the enemies and so forth. They vanquished their enemies. Can God have that kind of testimony about you? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will testify his name before my Father and of his angels. Can God say these things about you? Well, listen to what even God himself said about Jesus Christ. Of course, we know who Jesus was, but in his earthly ministry, he came just as the righteous servant. And in John chapter 3, he went to John the Baptist to be baptized and so forth. And John said, oh, no. He said, yeah, let's fulfill all righteousness. And as he was coming out of the water, you know, and so forth, in John 3 and verse 17, the heavens opened up, and the voice of God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Can God say of you, remember, Jesus is only the firstborn among many brethren. He's not the only one, but he was the blueprint of what we should look like. And if God said of him like that, can God say of you, this is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. The heavens declare it, in whom I am well pleased. Can God say that of you? And I want to remind you also, at that time that God said that of Jesus, it was not yet recorded that he had done any miracles. Some people say, oh, it's a great miracles. No, he hadn't done any that he was recorded, but he was completely submitted to the Father. That's right. the Son does the Father's will. And you heard that message last week. You know, so can God say of you, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? Well, here's one way that he might be able to say that of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is how God might be able to say that of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let me read this to you. He said in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial, or him that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As he has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, if you want God to call you his son and his daughter, listen to this. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Come out from among the world. Be separate. Don't be like the world, you young people. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he is a new creature. All things must pass away. You can't have Christ and have the world at the same time. That's not going to work. Hallelujah, somebody. You must deny yourself and turn your back against the world. Hold up the cross and follow after Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you touch not the unclean thing, you can't mingle all that stuff in, you know. You got to be separate and be holy, saith the Lord. And that's when he will receive you as his sons and his own daughters. And finally, last but not the least, let me tell you also that even the devils, you know, angels know who you are, because Christ is testifying your name if you are doing what he says here to be doing here on earth. You know, he's testifying your name. You know, so the thing is this, God knows your name, but do the angels know your name? Have the angels ever heard who you are? I mean, has God ever said, you know, hey, have you seen my servant such and such? You know, and look how she's believing for my word. Or look how he's believing for my... You go down there, make sure that everything... I mean, can God mention your name in heaven? I'm not talking when you get to heaven. I'm talking right now. Amen? Because the Bible says heaven and earth walk together. You know, things that we bind on earth are bound in heaven. They walk together. Right now. Can God... Is God speaking your name in heaven? Is Jesus testifying your name before the angels? You know, or are the angels even say, you know, who's that? So let's read this story in Acts chapter 19, verses 14 and 15. Now, in this story, you know, there were some people that have heard Paul preaching. So they've heard Paul preaching about Jesus and everything. So they, you know, they say, well, they've seen Paul do these things. They've seen Paul preach about Jesus. They've seen Paul cast out devils and so forth. And I say, well, we can do the same, you know, and so forth. You know, so they go up, you know, the Bible says seven sons of Sceva here. So they went up, you know, against some guy that has some bunch of evil spirits. And they said to the man, they said, all right, you know, you foul unclean spirit, come out of the man in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's what they said. And the devil looked at them and said, well, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you? Amen, somebody? The devil knows Jesus. And he knows those who are doing the work. Does he know you? And he didn't know these people. And he pounced on them and got the mastery over there. Read the story. He got the mastery over them and so forth like that. So here's the question. God knows your name. Is Jesus testifying your name in heaven? Because you are testifying his name on earth. Do the angels hear your name from time to time? You know, because Jesus said, I will testify his name before my Father and his angels. They know who you are. Do even the devils know who you are? Or will they say, well, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? Let's stand to our feet here this morning. It's a short message, and I want us to think about that. I want you to think about it here this morning. What is God's testimony about you? He testified of Job and said, none like him in all the earth. Even prior to the devil. Can God say that about you? He can't do that about you if you're just a churchgoer. Can he say that about you? That now I know him. That he will not withhold anything I ask him to do. Can God say of you that you will do anything he tells you to do? Sometimes God will tell you to do some foolishly seeming things, or seemingly foolish things, I should say, just because he wants to test you. And you may think the thing has no bearing on anything, but he may tell you to do it anyhow. If you obey him in the little things, maybe he'll tell you some bigger things. But if you don't obey, you know, how are you going to hear the voice of commendation from the Lord? I say, I now know him that he will do everything I say. Are you believing his word? Every jot and every tittle in the word of God, no matter how, even to your own hurt. That's right. Can you believe the word of God like that? Can God say, I know him and I know her, that he believes and she believes my word? Let's lift up our hands and pray. Yes. I'm not going to take an altar call this morning. I want you to pray in your seats. And I want you to challenge yourself with this message and say, examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. What is this? What is your testimony in heaven? What is being written about you? What are the angels doing concerning you? Are the angels whom God have given charge over you, are they just bored doing nothing? Because your life is not a challenge to God? Or is your life challenging God every day so that those angels are running to and fro on your behalf? What does God say about you? Jesus said, what do men say about me? But I ask you this morning, what does Jesus say about you? Can he say of you, ye are my sons and my daughters because you have separated yourself from the world? Because you do not touch the unclean thing, because you have separated yourself. Can Jesus say of you, ye are the light of the world? Are you being the light where you are? Are you being the salt where you are? Can he say of you, ye are the salt of the earth? Indeed. Or will he say, well, you were supposed to be the salt, but now the salt has lost its savor, and it has to be cast out and trodden underfoot. What is Jesus say about you this morning? Can God say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, only one life to live, and we must do all we can by the grace and the ability of God to please the Father. Give everyone that heard this message here this morning, and everyone that is yet to hear it by the recording, give them an understanding that they may draw closer to you, Lord. So that not only at the end of our life we may hear that testimony of you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but we want to hear it now. Because you testified of Jesus. Even at the beginning of his ministry, you testified right there of him. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Teach us, Lord, your ways, and help us to walk in them, that we may be pleasing, our lives may be pleasing to you in all that we do, so that we also may hear your voice saying, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And help us to be a light to this world, that our light may shine so that men may see our good works and give glory to our Father that is in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if you receive that prayer, you can say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise and a hand clap here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.